Podcasting 2.0 for April 14th, 2023, episode 129. We got Turkish Punk. Hello, everybody. Friday, once again, time for the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Yes, we are the only podcast boardroom with music in its heart. Everything happened at podcastindex.org, the namespace, and of course, all the shenanigans and scissor running at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country, and in Alabama, the man who rubs your pub key right into a chat. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
I didn't know where you were going with that, but I like it.
Well, that's what you've been doing. You've been like making chats and rubbing pub keys into it, and I guess.
Yes,
like
comrade, I have done. Yes. I was terrified on the way home that, like, our guest today, it's the third time we've tried to schedule him. It finally worked, and I was like, I thought, oh my God, I'm going to have a flat tire on the way home.
I was waiting for anything to happen. So I told Tina, I said, you know, it's third time, so it's, yeah, I hope it's a charm, but,
yeah. I mean, for context, I think we've, in the entire history of the show, which was 2.5 years now?
Yeah, moving up on 3, yeah.
Yeah, in the entire history of the show, I think we've had one problem with a guest, and it was within enough time to where we could actually fix it and make it work.
Yeah.
These guests, we've had to reschedule twice for once for like weather, and you know the other one because I screwed it up.
And then the third time because I had to have my mouth looked at again.
That's right.
Crazy. All right. Well, we'll get to them momentarily. First of all, we're lit. This is the new thing. All the kids are doing. Everyone's talking about it. Being lit is what you want with your podcast. Mm-hmm. Now, besides Podverse, CurioCaster, Podcast Addict, Podcast Guru joins the crowd.
Yep.
Got a successful test yesterday. Tweeted me that no agenda had worked, so that's good.
And on the guru?
Yeah, the guru, exactly. I was listening, I think it was it Podcast Weekly Review talking about, well, you know, is it really a good thing doing these lit shows? Because, you know, it's really only not a lot of people listen.
And
I didn't understand the context of it. I was doing some other stuff. But I would say the point is, again, looking at the daily and weekly statistics, when you have a lit show and it's in and you're doing it in a certain way, which is very interactive with the chat that you have going on, I mean, it's a real value receiving mechanism. I mean, we see Podverse outpace Fountain on sat totals regularly. Because shows are doing it. And was Todd lit Wednesday? He must have been lit.
I boosted him live, yeah.
So, and this kind of solidifies the whole idea that you don't need to be number one. You don't need to be on the chart. You don't even need to be in Apple or in Spotify. You know, you just need to have your community, your audience, your group sitting around participating. And I think... I don't think Podcast Guru and Podcast Addict, they don't have value for value built in, do they?
Not yet.
They do. It's kind of a prerequisite for lit because that's part of the fun. You know, I mean, anybody can listen to a show live and it's great that these apps are doing it. But I guarantee you listeners want to join in because boosting is fun.
Yes. I don't want to blow anybody's cover, but there's another app with I don't want to steal their thunder, but there's another app with V4V coming that's lit enabled.
Oh, you know, the Pod Sage has secret information.
I hate doing that crap, but
nice.
I don't want to like let the cat out of the bag before the developers.
I'm sure it's
on the way though.
They're giving the exclusive to Podcast Business Journal Weekly.
yes. Review.
Podcast review. Business Journal Weekly. No, the Podcast Business Journal isn't that the new newsletter? Revamped.
Am I missing something or sounds profitable still part of?
I've never understood the relationship. Never understood the relationship. Really. No.
Okay.
It's all right.
Yeah, whatever.
Currently, 12,000. Oh, shoot. I just lost the number. 12,985 podcasts are value for value enabled, almost 13,000. And remember to help people onboard, because you can onboard in so many places now. Podcasterwallet.com, Conshacks.app, Fountain in the app itself.
Albie.
Oh, that's right. You can onboard through Albie. That's a good one. Do we know who's on? Oh, and of course, what's Brian's?
Three Speak.
Yeah, you can onboard through Three
Wave
Speak.
Wave Lake.
Oh my God, it's really getting exciting. And I just got to talk about two things. First of all, Stephen B's split kit is what I'm calling it.
Oh, I like that. Can you please explain this to me? Because I've been there. There was a lot of stuff that happened this week, and I could not keep track of all of it. And I saw it, and I think I understand it, but it would be really helpful if you tell me what it does.
Yeah, so now I'm not quite sure how it works with everything or not, but currently you go to Eldingar. I like Splitkit, but Eldingar.com.
That sounds like a Norse god.
I think it is. I think it is.
Eldingar.
Okay, everyone will remember it now. Eldingar, the split kit. And, excuse me. That was disgusting. hey, I'm 58, old man syndrome. And so you connect it to, I think currently it works with GetAlbie. So you authorize it with GetAlbie in your browser. And then you can create a QR code or a link at the same time for a boost and splits for anything you want. So I could just create a bunch of, let's say I'm with my band, I'm mm-hmm. on stage and I want to put a QR code up there. And you know, we got just the band there. We don't have a podcast and we may not have anything on value for value per se. But then you can set the splits, set the wallets. And then you got a web page, and that web page is the QR code and alternatively a link, and you hit the boost button and it gives you the and you got to connect it to your wallet, which in this case is GetAlbie. I think they're also going to connect it to the Fountain wallet, which would be Zebedee. And, I presume more. I'm not quite sure how many wallets it will support. And then you basically hit boost. You fill in your name, the amount, the message for Boostagram. And it does all the splits and sends it. So it's a split kit for any purpose, really.
So any purpose. I mean, it's generic. So you could do, a charitable stuff.
Anything. Yeah, exactly.
That's not. So you basically put in all your splits and it just spits out a QR code.
Mm-hmm. And you can even put an image in there. I think you can do other mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Isn't that the Prism?
It's like the Prism, yeah, but it's not the Prism.
I mean, I think the idea of the Prism is that's deeper down the stack at the protocol level. But I mean, like, this is a
it's a version. Well, here's what's cool, because I posted a QR code on Noster just to see what people would do. I mean, you post a QR code on Noster, people would go, "Whoa, must use
dog pilot."
It's like woof woof, must look at this. And people were immediately using it. And so
Scott said the Prism. the prism.
Although that's a show title, The Prism. Yeah. So immediately people were using it on Noster, and you get the little the confetti and all that. And I presume that they had their Noster accounts hooked up to their GetAlbie, which a lot of people have, and also Wallet of Satoshi, is that a custodial thing?
I think that it has, my understanding is that they have a custodial component that they're both. I think it can be either non-custodial or custodial.
Okay.
But I mean, everybody talks about it as if they have a custodial service, but I've never used it.
That's what it sounds like to me as well. Which, of course, it's kind of interesting to see how the core people who were, I think a lot of the people were yelling loudly when, Lightning was really starting to become, people were using Lightning wallets that were custodial. This is not the way to go. we need to have, you know, everyone runs your own node, your own node. And now with Nostr, like, who cares?
Pretty much.
Where's Zappin? Yeah. Where's Zappin?
Yeah. It's funny how all the dogma goes away once you have, you know, once you catch the vibe.
Like, yep, because, the wave. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, that's never made a ton of sense to me anyway, because there's nothing wrong with having a custodial wallet that just holds $100 or less in it. I mean,
as long as you have a non-custodial solution, absolutely.
Yeah, just sweep it out. I mean, it's not like you have to keep your life savings in there.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. Sweep it out. But also, I like. I mean, I use Breeze a lot as a real functional wallet. You know, it doesn't integrate with. Well, actually, it does integrate with most things. But for instance, with I scan the QR code with my Breeze wallet for the split kit Eldingar. And it said, do you want to open this URL, which I already thought was kind of cool. And it opened the URL, just opened up, you know, basically a web browser connected to Get Albi. So,
right.
But my point being is like, when I see X amount of sats in my Get Albi, I usually, you know, pull it into my Breeze wallet, which I use to buy stuff. You know, I use that to buy beef from KNC cattle. And, you know, so I have probably $500 in there and all my Bitcoin, of course, is in cold storage, but. Yeah, I mean, it's all just education. I agree with you. It's not all that. But of course, when the day that Get Albi goes down, which it will happen, I don't want to put nastiness on anybody, but you and I know it will happen.
Goes down. Yeah, nothing stays up forever.
Well, this is your actual job. You know, you keep machines running, and even the machines that the systems you've built for me, like a Freedom Controller, have run for years and years and years, and still once in a while. It goes down.
Once in a while.
But it usually comes back up.
Thanks for that, by the way.
Usually it comes back up.
I know what I'll be doing this weekend.
No, usually it comes up by itself. I don't have to do anything. It's just there's like some kind of hiccup. You have all kinds. You got all kinds of trip wires and stuff. I know what you do.
It's a way, it's a design choice. I think we've gotten used to, in the broader ecosystem of, you know, like cloud technology, I think we've gotten used to things going down a lot because there was the get it out as fast as you can, run fast and break things,
right.
grow for the VC. Mm-hmm. And so cut corners, we'll fix it. You know, we'll fix it in the first patch.
Yeah.
Go ahead and ship it.
We'll fix it in the first patch.
Yeah. I mean, that's been the mindset. We've grown used to this mindset for the last 15 years. And so like, but if you go into something with a slow, sort of methodical build, you know, approach to building mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to fall victim to a lot of that stuff.
Well, such as podcastindex.org, as far as I know, I mean, there's been some slowdowns or other things when people are attacking us or scraping us, but it's been rock solid from day one.
The only thing that is becoming annoyingly frequent is the 502-502.
And that's when someone's scraping us.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the same person, but some high volume scrapers start hitting us at like 5 o'clock in the morning, and it's been predictable. And most of the time we're able to take it. But then sometimes, like, I mean, the last one that happened, was it either yesterday morning or the day before yesterday, it was down for about half an hour.
Whoa.
Giving 502s. And the volume of this scraper was like, it was something like a million, it was like 1.2 million requests in 20 minutes.
Is that a scraper or is that just a DDoS at that point?
I think it's not a DDoS.
Yeah. It's a DOS, it's not a DDoS.
Yeah, it's an accidental denial service because they were legitimately trying to scrape the database.
But the point is, it's freely available, douchebags. You can go download it. We make it available for free. And what are they scraping? Just the stuff that's available for free or something special? Yeah.
No, the stuff that's available for free because they're morons. But the thing that... So what's kept me from doing everything's all about budget constraints, but what's kept me from doing a rate limiting at the Cloudflare level is that it's an Cloudflare's rate limiting product has always been open-ended. So like it was like a metered product, and it was the way that it was, the way that they bill for it is that if you start getting if you rate limit somebody, they charge you for every request that gets rate limited.
Whoa.
Yeah. So like you don't get charged for the stuff that they let pass through, but you would get charged for every request, a fraction of a cent or something like that, for every request that got blocked.
Right. Times a million. Yeah,
like somebody could just like, you're just handing your wallet to somebody else and saying, please don't hurt me too bad.
Yeah.
And it was never even an option. So now they have this unmetered thing that is supposed to, based on my understanding, I think we are able to use it without these scary overage charges. So I'm going to give it a shot to try to fix this, because otherwise I have to write a rate limiter on our side. And I just have never gotten around to doing that. Right now it's a slow, lazy process that happens after the fact, looking at logs. It's not an instant thing. And so I would have to, write a Redis based, caching rate limiter. And I just don't want to, I'd rather not do that.
I hear you. Here's where it gets nasty. So No Agenda, we have our own cloud of servers, which we just had historically for, at least 13, 14 years probably, which VoiceZero has been managing. And we got DDoS real hard the other day. And it was...
stream?
When we go to the donation segment, I'll show these guys. They're going to ask for donations. And in the process, somehow... of one of the servers, the cooling fans blew. I don't know if it was...
Oh, crap.
So that machine went down. But then when I uploaded the show, it has to replicate across all the servers. And one, it didn't hit one. And then, man, when you get, a portion of the audience is just getting 404. But that's not how they respond to it. They're like... why didn't you upload to Apple?
Yeah, right.
and it's like, the Podverse sucks. I'm like, no. And it's just no way. It's horrible. When things go wrong with podcasting, with downloads, it's always bad. It's always, always bad.
People are so patient.
I know. And we appreciate their patience.
Yes.
Before we bring in our guests, I'd love to understand what you're doing with chat, if you're ready to talk about it.
I don't even have to just talk about it. I can show you.
You can show me? Okay.
Let's see. All right.
What am I going to? I'm going to...
Let me signal you this.
We're not giving anything out on the air. It's all secret.
Oh, no. We can give it on the air.
No. Sure. Don't give it to them. Let me see. Yeah. All right. Here you go. Let me check it out. All right. Ooh. Who do you want to be? Nancy? What are we looking at here? Tell me what's going on here.
No, what I think is interesting. Let me post this in the chat.
Here we go. We're going crazy. I'm getting a picture of myself here. I'm going to do it all professional.
I guess I'm curious as to what you think of this initial screen before you actually do anything.
Well, I like this. I like this right away because I understood. I put my name Adam in. I chose my file. Now, but here. Oh, wait. Here's a Noster thing.
That's what I'm
saying. Let me hit the Noster. Let me see. Authorize forever. Okay. Wow. Can I change my name here? Or does it have to be Adam Curry?
Well, I mean, if it pulled it in from Noster, it's gonna pull in your public, your public key.
I can apparently change my name because it says it was all Adam Curry _. Okay, I'm doing that. Login.
You can.
Whoa. Cool.
So I don't know.
It pulled in my picture. Nice. Uh-huh. It pulled in my profile picture from Nostril.
From Nostril.
Okay. All right. Well, this works. All right. So what are we looking at here besides the fact that it's a badass chat? Wait, do I have a secret? Stream up here. Nice. Okay. I like it. That's a little player there for the stream.
Yeah, that's right. So this, so what, here was the idea. So having our discussion last week, mm-hmm. you know, I realized what sort of the magic is of the way that Noster sits with people. Mm-hmm. And you described it. You said, you know, what the magic part was that you went to, the No Agenda Social went down, you went to Noster, threw in your public key or threw in your private key, and boom, you were up and going.
Right.
So I think the real thing that people love about Noster is that it has portable identities.
Correct. I think that's because there's Habla.news. You can use your same identity to write a newsletter or a post that looks like a newsletter. And so yes. It's completely portable and it pulls in me, my name, my deets, if you will.
Deets, yes.
Which of course I would love to get some deets from all these beautiful people I see, like Tone Wrecker. I know Eric PP. You know, who said they set up their Noster just for
Nathan.
This? Nathan, right.
Nathan G.
So I'd love to be able to click on Nathan G and get his Noster deets.
So identity is really the sort of magic sauce there. Mm-hmm. Everything else, you know, I mean, it relays. I mean, you could put other stuff underneath the hood, mm-hmm. and all that's debatable. But as far as, you know, as far as just what the magic of thing that people are infatuated with Noster is that I really think it's the identity piece.
I agree with you.
But that cuts both
five.
Ways.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah. You know, but it cuts both ways. Like we said last week, I mean, you a lot of times you don't want a static identity that follows you everywhere.
And correct.
So if somebody goes into a chat session in a live show, by the way, multiple different chat rooms in a single podcast lit. This is destined for chaos.
I'm looking at both of them. Oh,
really confusing. So the idea, like you may not want your identity or a particular identity
right.
tied to a certain thing that you're involved in, but the nice thing about the simple public private key pair with Noster is these can be tossable. These can be throwaway accounts.
Just like a Bitcoin address. Throw that one out, use another one.
Yeah. So what I started thinking was, what if we just sort of embrace just that part of things to begin with? So MK Ultra was the chat server that I had pulled in or that I had built halfway maybe a year ago mm-hmm. to try to start playing around with Super Chat. Because we have Lit, and we were going to say, okay, well, let's pull in Boostergrams. Let's have this Super Chat idea. And the idea of MK Ultra was you have a chat room that podcasters can spin up easily, sort of an ephemeral chat room mm-hmm. that can last as long as the episode or as long as they want it to. And it pulls in all their Boostergrams and everything as this stuff is flowing in, and Activity Pub and all the different things that are flying around. It's pulling all this stuff into the chat room. And then at the end of it, it exports, you can have it as the podcast, you can have it export a timestamped Super Chat file.
You can export that and then you can use that as a set. Wait, then we can integrate that into Daniel J. Lewis's decentralized cross-app cameras.
Stop. No, not yet. No. You're going to fry my brain.
I'll stop.
Okay, so then you can export this timestamped Super Chat file, and now you have something you can replay like a real Super Chat, and you can attach it somehow to the episode in the feed. And for people who are, you know, replaying your episode or whatever, you could figure out the time stamping, all that stuff, you know, takes work, but that you would have something to replay. Okay. So if you pull that idea and you combine that with Noster identities, so you can spin, here's how you spin this thing up. You run the code on the command line and it gives you a session ID, which is that CID equals blah, blah, blah mm-hmm. in the mm-hmm. URL bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gives you a session ID. You put that goes into your lit tag when we have the chat, when we have a podcast colon chat tag finished.
Right.
That goes in there. People go to that when they, when they're listening to the show, they can listen to the stream right there on the page. But when you go into the page, it says, do you want to have, do you want to use your Nostr ID?
Right. Or something else.
Or do you want to create an identification, mm-hmm. an ID?
Are you creating a key an pair identity. With that?
Yes.
Oh, sweet.
So what happens is if you create a key pair instead, if you create an identity instead of using a Nostr identity, it still creates a Nostr identity for you.
Man, then nice.
After you do that, since you used your Nostr identity, so yes, you didn't see this part.
No, I did not.
But if you had just put in an avatar and a name and hit create, it would have popped up and said, here's your public and private key pair. Please save this for safekeeping. Do you now want to post your identity to the Nostr network so that you can use this identity elsewhere? If you say yes, you've now created a Nostr identity, uh-huh. and you can take that and you can go off and use it somewhere else.
So it's also an identity creator.
It is an identity creator. And so but the key here is if you look up at the top where your avatar is, you have mm-hmm. the little checkbox.
Yeah. I see a little check mark. I want my post to be ephemeral.
Yeah. So if you, that's the sort of the master privacy switch. If you have that checked and it's checked by default, anything you chat will not be broadcast back out to Nostr. It won't go to any relays. It stays, what happens in the boardroom stays in the boardroom at that point.
So what I'm posting now is going out to Nostr?
If you have it checked, it is not going to Nostr. These are throwaway posts.
Nostr. Okay. So if I uncheck it and I say testing the boardroom chat. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Now I go to my Nostr.
Yes.
Funny because I use snort, so it makes total sense. And I go over here. Oh man, Dave Jones, what have you done?
Now, of course, the drawback of Nostr is it's slow. Relays, things don't happen quick. So right. this. If you uncheck that and you start posting, those posts should go federated out to Nostr.
Okay, I haven't gotten it here yet. Okay. By the way, I do see I got a Nostr from Jack Dorsey.
A Nostr? A post?
A post, yeah.
No. Oh, okay.
Hey, Jack.
Arguing with you about Joe Rogan?
Yeah, of course. he disagrees with me. I'm like, I don't care.
So the idea, like, with MKUltra, it was already a WebSocket-based chat server. Mm-hmm. That's the way it was designed from the beginning.
Right.
So now what it is a a sort of ephemeral chat room where you control where those messages go. And if you just want it to be something, if you want to go into, you're essentially going into incognito mode for the sake of this session. And then you don't have to worry about this stuff going out into the broader world. So it's all Nostr inside.
Got it.
But it doesn't have to go anywhere else.
I love it. I love it. I love it. What a great start, Dave. I mean, I can see exactly what I thought Nostr would be good for is for doing stuff that's outside of the social network known as Nostr.
Mm-hmm. The good thing about it is I didn't have any sort of schema internally for this. So the Nostr sort of message format, mm-hmm. all that stuff, it's basically this MKUltra is now Nostr on the inside.
Got it. Yeah.
And even if Nostr fails, even if it gets a sinus infection and goes away,
this will still work. This continues to function. Yeah.
Right. The internal schema for the messages, that's fine. I mean, I just needed one anyway, so I'll just do this one. It's not a big deal. But now the next step is to switch the WebSocket portion of it to speak that language and then
take inputs from other places as well.
If wanted, yes. And so then at that point, we can start writing the bridges. So the idea here is not to make this a Noster thing.
I got
The idea is to have is we want this thing sucking in, you know, that way somebody can post, you know, somewhere else, ActivityPub, XMPP,
IRC, I presume.
IRC, yes, yep. Yes. And yep. It will all come in here into a, it'll all get funneled in here.
Wow.
Yeah. And wow. So it's pipelineable. So you can.
Oh, no. Pipelineable. Oh, another show title.
Yeah. This is wonderful. It's great that people didn't think that I would anticipate HTML injection. But I'm glad that people are trying.
Hello, everybody. Yeah. Do you know who you're talking to? It's Dave Jones, the pod sage. You can't fool him with that.
But anyway, you can sort of pipeline it, and we could put this into like the webhook and sovereign feeds, so that when you do, you know, when you spin up a sovereign's feed, when you spin up a new live item,
right.
The webhook would also trigger spinning up a new chat session, a new chat room for you. Cool.
But it hasn't come through anywhere on any other Noster clients, but I presume that's just because
it might be the relays that it's connected to.
Okay.
Because this is in here again, is the problem with Noster.
That's the problem with Noster, exactly. Well, that doesn't really matter to me right now. I'm super happy with what you're doing here. This looks so cool. And it makes so much sense. And no one has to admin the accounts. That's the beauty. Exactly. The beauty. No admin of accounts. I love that. Dude. And
so at the bottom, you have your public-private key pair.
Oh.
And you can take those, you know, you can copy and paste them and take those with you if you want to go and use your newly minted identity somewhere else. Yes. So anyway, that's what I've been working on. Lots of work to do.
Can I put this link in the show notes so people can play around with it after the is over? Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Dude. Yep. Nice. All right. So we're just calling this a first look. First look.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
We'll start bringing in other stuff as soon as the WebSocket stuff is converted.
Cool. I think it's time to bring in our guests since we've gotten all jitty. Unless you have something else to talk about before.
No.
We
guests.
Yes. Our guests today, you heard earlier, we've been trying to get them in for several weeks now. Actually, it's probably a little bit longer than that. They've been working on this. They are part of the hottest new shit that is coming to Value for Value and the Podcast Index. So hot, in fact, that people can't even wait for full apps. They're just going ahead and running with scissors, which we love. Please welcome from Wavelake, co-founders Michael Rhee and Sam Means.
Hello,
they said in unison. hey, guys. Welcome to the boardroom.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
What's all this Noster stuff you guys are talking about? I never heard of it.
Yeah, I have no idea. It's we're running with scissors once again.
This crazy new chat room has got every attempt to SQL injection, HTML. I mean, Dreb Scott just posted rm-rf/*.
Good work, Dreb.
You got a great QA team. Crowdsourcing.
Yeah, totally.
What? So are you speaking of Nostril, have y'all had any sort of presence on that network at all?
This is our end pub. Just get a pen and pencil down.
Okay. I'm ready. Go.
Yeah. Do we have enough time for this?
Yeah.
We've been playing around on Noster. I think I was the Noster advocate for a minute, and now Michael's coming around. It seems like you guys are coming around too. I remember not even too many episodes ago, it seemed like you were not super into the idea, but
two of us. You know, it's like some push back and push forward back, and then something pops out of the bottom.
Let's
talk about tell me about you guys and how you created Wavelake, and let everyone understand what Wavelake is, because this is we've obviously been aware of each other for a long time. We're trying to get in into a room. We're in the room now. Tell us where you're coming from, what you're doing. Give us the lowdown.
Sure, Michael, you want to start?
So Wavelake basically is a way for artists, musicians to put music up online and get Bitcoin in return from their fans. A lot you know, in the way that value for value work, we're trying to bring that or bring music to value for value. I started working on Wavelake about a year and a half. Love that little zap sound, by the way. Also, I think it's really funny. Like, it started off as Boosts, and now, like, if you talk about Boosts on Noster, like, no one knows what you're talking about. They're like, what is a Boost?
What is a Boost? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's like we don't even exist, you know? Like,
right, yeah. The kids are calling it Zaps now, so, but yeah. I don't, you know, I think if we can just call them Sats, you know, that works too. But, yeah, so I started working.
An Electric Tickle.
Electric Tickle. Another show.
Eldegar.
E.T., for short. So yeah, I started working on Wavelake about a year and a half ago, for this exact reason. I just, you know, I started learning about Lightning and thought, you know, I'm a huge music lover. You know, I used to play in a band, and I thought, well, this would be really cool to just have people be able to send sats to musicians instead of having all of these giant streaming platforms out there that are recommending me, like just giving me terrible recommendations all the time. I just wanted to kind of selfishly find cooler new music that, you know, those algos wouldn't be able to recommend me. So I started building it around the same time, kind of coincidentally. One of the first things that I found was Sam's music on a Lightning app called Sphinx Chat. Uh-huh. He had just kind of made, yep. He made kind of like a podcast feed, or a channel on Sphinx Chat, but he had put his songs on there instead of having podcast episodes. So that was my first kind of meeting with Sam, but we, you know, we didn't interact or anything. It was just the first time I ever heard of him. And then I think a few months later, I launched like a really early version of Wavelake, and Sam was one of the first people to check it out. And like, we were on a late night Twitter session over DMs trying to like debug stuff, 'cause I set it up to, have artists bring their own node connected to the site. And then there was all this kind of legwork required to get you on board. But we finally got through it. He got on, you know, he was one of the first artists on there, if not the first. Yeah. And then, you know, we started talking more. I learned more about him. You know, he runs Lightning Store as well, which has all these dope t-shirts that are Bitcoin themed and stickers and stuff. Yeah. And I learned more about his background as a musician. We started talking more. And then, yeah, in the last, I don't know, 9 months, we kind of decided like we should get serious about this. And then, yeah, the Wavelake that you see today is basically that the result of that collaboration.
So now, Wavelake itself, you have your own system running for people to pay for music they're listening to. You have different ways of doing that. And then we'll talk about how it interacts with value for value podcast apps. What exactly is the mechanism on Wavelake itself?
Yeah, so the way Wavelake works today is you sign up for an account. We try to make it really easy. You have an email address or a Twitter login, or a Google login. Once you're logged in, you automatically get a wallet assigned to you. And if you're an artist, you can start uploading tracks in a really easy to use interface. And then once you press publish, those tracks go out to our website, and then we simultaneously create an RSS feed that is podcast 2.0 compliant.
Whoa, who's got the train?
Hello.
That's me.
That sounds like Sam.
That's definitely me. Sorry. I work in an old industrial building, and there's train right on schedule.
Sam clearly on the wrong side of the tracks there.
Yeah. So once it's uploaded, the music appears on wavelake.com for our users to zap, or you can just zap anonymously. You can just, you know, generate an invoice for something you like. If you're hearing it and you're not logged in, you can just boost it. It'll create a Bolt 11 invoice for you. And then, you can support the artist that way. And then, simultaneously, we have got these RSS feeds, and I think, some of them have been showing up on players like Fountain and KiroCaster Music Side Project. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where else. They could be going elsewhere as well. But yeah, we're trying to support artists in the best ways possible, in this kind of this new emerging world of Lightning and Bitcoin and Podcast 2.0 and now Noster.
Do you have any form of split setup? Do you have a split editor that, that people can use when the feed is created or when their account is created?
Not yet, but we want that to come soon.
Because that's always been my dream, having dealt with, I mean, I'm a radio, you know, I know, Michael, you're also, both of you guys are radio guys as well. But as a radio guy, I always want to play music in my podcast, and there's just no legal way to do it with ASCAP, BMI, et cetera, licensed music. Yeah. And, you know, forget the, you know, all the mechanical stuff if it's downloadable. It's a quagmire. The only way you can really do anything is, you know, is you can have a stream. Great. You can have a pre-programmed stream, and there's all these limitations as to what you can do. So it's completely unworkable. And I always felt that, with the splits architecture, you can circumvent all of that so that writer, composer, you know, even for the performance royalties, you know, like what Spotify gives to artists, you know, you can bake that right in. You can bake in your roadie, you know, your road crew, whatever you want, and have that in the splits. And I think that to me is where the future is, so that everybody can get paid.
Yeah, even the drummer gets a cut in that situation, which is
I know,
it's drummers under the
crazy
bus.
Wow.
But no, that's yeah. So we don't have that yet, but that's been in the conversation since day one, because that's really what we're trying to do. We don't want to perpetuate any of the existing problems that have been in the music industry for, you know, as old as time. But that we just want to make sure we do it right so that it's seamless. That was the main thing going into this, since it was a little bit difficult to use in the alpha version of Wavelake, and it was a little confusing, and it did sort of in some ways put things behind a wall. On this new version, everything, we're just trying to make sure that every decision and every implementation that comes into it is coming from an angle that's going to actually help down the road and not just continue to perpetuate these stupid things that we see.
Excellent. I mean, you know, what we've been doing is we have an API. We can help people create splits, you know, that we maintain if it's not in the feed yet, but ultimately you want that to be in the feed. How are you guys taking a percentage of every boost, zap, et cetera, that comes in?
Yeah. Right now we're taking a percentage, and everything's outside of that, everything's free. But at some point in time, we're going to have some kind of hosting fee. We're juggling how we're going to do that exactly, if that ends up being like a percentage as well, or if it's a flat rate. We're trying to figure out technically how to do that on a scalable model. But I really like the percentage model. I work in the band merchandise business, and that's how I do everything. I've been doing that for 15 years. I don't charge anybody for anything unless something sells. So I'd like to continue doing something like that, because it's worked for me for a long time. Technically there's some hurdles there. And I think you and I are a lot alike. We're maybe not like the most technical people. So sometimes
speak
really great
yourself,
ideas. Just take.
Sam.
I mean, we can, I know we can
dream it up. We can dream
and that's a cool thing. Yeah. You got to have a good partner. Michael always says, just keep dreaming big. Cause like, you know, that's the fun part.
I'm not sure people have fully realized yet the power of what Alex created when he created the Medium tag for the podcast feed.
Yeah.
Because this enables music has never had in the digital world, music has never had a delivery protocol or delivery mechanism that is open. I mean, everything has been proprietary since day one. I mean, there's been no open protocol for music delivery. So the just simply tagging the podcast feed as Medium Music instantly allows you to have a music delivery service that just piggybacks on top of the existing podcast infrastructure, which is already built out. I think one thing that does is it decentralizes all of the a lot of the costs, maybe not all of them. I was reading this article today. It was this from MBW, or the Music Business Worldwide, and it said there are 67 million audio tracks sitting on music streaming services today that in the 2022 calendar year attracted 10 or fewer streams apiece. That's 67 million. Let's see. That's 42% of the entire catalog of tracks available on streaming had less than 10 streams right. in the whole year.
Right.
But these guys like Spotify, they still have to pay for all of the hosting. It reminded me of this when you talked about a hosting fee, Sam. And this article goes on to show that Spotify is paying a minimum. They don't know exact figures, but the minimum amount Spotify is paying to Google for cloud storage is $150 million a year to store music, of which 42% is not even used.
Right. And that's why they got such a chip on their shoulder about it all.
Yeah, I'd be pissed too. I mean, like,
you're getting this for free. Yo, you should shut up, musician.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's interesting is like this all started off free, right? It all started off free and open in terms of music streaming. So there were MP3s. That was just an open standard file format. And then there was Napster, and it was really easy to like find people's libraries, share music, all that. Obviously, that system wasn't great for artists because people were basically just sharing music for free without paying for it.
Although, if you look at the numbers, and I remember them well, it turned out that Napster actually was quite a boon for the music industry because people would go out and buy stuff. And I believe Spotify initially was a peer-to-peer sharing protocol.
Yeah, I don't remember that. But yeah, I mean, things just kind of went behind. We kind of went one direction, you know, having everything open and free. And now we've swung like so far in the other direction where everything's paywall.
Well, not just that, but the record companies, the labels themselves own most of Spotify, and the way the contracts are written, you know, they can just keep raising the rates on Spotify whenever, however they want. Well, not whenever, but the contract duration is so short that Spotify really has no way to ever become profitable.
I just got a Spotify for Artists email, guys. I think they're listening. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a solution for this too with the hosting thing, although it's another one of those bigger ideas. But I mean, I've always wanted to see some way to go back to that file sharing, peer-to-peer file sharing system, but now incorporate something with, you know, Lightning so that it can potentially fix that problem. How that happens, I don't know, but it seems possible. And I definitely see more and more people talking about that, especially around Noster conversations and NIPs. I think there's at least two NIPs right now being introduced that are sort of pitching the peer-to-peer file sharing idea. So that could potentially be something that makes, you know, if the two can sort of integrate and play nice, then maybe there's a way to see that happen.
We've been down the Noster guys have stars in their eyes. We've been down that road with IPFS. It's not ready for prime time. I mean, not even close.
Oh, no, not even close. I'm just hopeful for the future that something like that could come down the road.
What is your typical, what is the typical Wave Lake, if there is one, what does the typical Wave Lake artist look like? When they onboard to Wave Lake, where are they coming from? What are they, do they already have you know, a successful thing going, or is this, are these new people that are just looking to sort of publish their first works? What does this look like typically?
It's really cool. We've seen a wide variety actually. Now it's starting to expand quite a bit. I mean, I think we have over 150 artists on there now. You know, we are seeing a ton of music come in from Africa. We're seeing a lot of Bandcamp people. I heard you mention Tone Wrecker. I know he's a listener. Tone Wrecker is awesome. Love that dude. You know, he uploaded 125 records, I think, releases. It was pretty cool. But we're seeing a lot. I mean, there's like a whole, we kind of joke around about it because there's like a whole Bitcoin genre of music. I think that was the first stuff that came on. And a lot of the value for value people came on. You know, that was like the first wave. And then it just started to catch a little bit of traction. So now we're getting people that, you know, we're seeing like bedroom projects. We're seeing some projects that have been like in the closet, like, oh, I did this back in the 90s. I never released it released locally, but this is really fun. I want to try it out. So I'm uploading this project, you know, from like 1998 or something.
You know,
so you're discovering like cool music.
In 2006, we started the PodSafe Music Network. And the PodSafe Music Network The idea was, you know, if you own your music and you own all the, you know, you haven't given your rights away, or you haven't, you know, if you're not ASCAP, BMI, or what, you've solved all of that, then you could put your music up on the PodSafe Music Network. And when a podcast plays, so podcasters, they register, they go and they could, you know, download your stuff, play it on their podcast. And the agreement was that as part of the license, because we wrote a PodSafe Music license, which is very simple, when you play it on your podcast, you have to credit that in the show notes and report back into the PodSafe Music Network. What was interesting is we got quite a large number of artists from the 70s, some from the 60s, who would either...
That's awesome.
Yeah, the stuff had come back to them, but they owned it all, and they were actually putting their music up. I expect you'll see that as well.
Yeah, I mean, you were mentioning it earlier, Adam, about podcasts about music and, being able to put music in a podcast. Yes. And all the hurdles you have to jump through to do that, or hoops you have to jump through. One of the things that I feel like has been lacking for so long, I mean, podcasting has been around forever. I can't name a single like podcast about music where they maybe analyze albums or, there are some, but none that can really dive into music, like pull out snippets or play whole songs or albums and analyze them, you know, in like a documentary style. I feel like there aren't really any podcasts like that because of how difficult all of the licensing and royalties rights are.
Correct. And in fact, in some of these licensing, in many of the streaming licenses, you can't even have three songs back to back of the same artist. You know, that's verboten. I still talk to guys who come from the industry, and they say it's broken. It's completely broken. All of it's broken. And this is really exciting. And when you talk about having music in a podcast, you know, what my vision is, maybe through something we call the remote item tag or, you know, some other mechanism, is when, besides me just being able to put an artist in a value block split, if I play a song and, you know, so here's 3 minutes of this song, I want the value block of that song with all its splits to take precedence over mine. And so then whatever is coming in at that moment when someone is listening to that song, I want it to go to the artist. Maybe I keep a few points, you know, for doing it. But I mean, these are all things that are within our grasp, but only Dave Jones would hurry up and build it. This is the only
we have this proposal for remote items, so we can, you know, you can share playlists. Like, it's ready. Here's what I want to get into, because we, you know, I had spoken with you guys once before, a couple months ago, maybe 3 months ago, I don't remember, and you had said some stuff that really was really important and eye opening to me about what you wanted to look, because I think you're really, from what I gathered in our discussion, you were really focused on the quality of the experience for the listener. And so rather than just throwing a bunch of feeds out there with music in it and letting it just roll into podcast apps, which the current when you listen to a podcast, the app is not set up to handle that in the proper way for music. Like, what are your, because we have so many app developers listening, what is your vision for what a proper music experience in a podcast app looks like? Or just not even, forget the idea of a podcast app. What is the proper music experience from the, that y'all would like to see, like on a mobile device?
Yeah, I mean, I think at a baseline, everyone knows what a streaming music app should feel like. How it looks, how you can find tracks, how you can find artists, how things are organized, the responsiveness of it. You know, when you press play, music starts playing within a couple seconds at the longest. And so I think with those expectations that people are just familiar with and used to, I think at a baseline, it has to do all that well. It's got to look good. It's got to feel good. And then on top of that, you know, we have all of these payment possibilities now, for a listener to be able to not only interact with an artist directly via Bitcoin, But then we can build things on top of that as well in terms of, you know, message interactions, you know, having things like badges that listeners can earn. And you know, those badges could be purely like superficial and aesthetic, or those badges could actually mean something in terms of unlocking some kind of exclusive access to a particular artist's work or, you know, extra work. Yeah, Sam, I don't know. You've got other thoughts on this.
I would like to see it be more of a direct connect between the fan and the artist, because that's really the most important part. Like, people listen to music because it means a lot to them, and they want to support artists because if they support the artist, then the artist can keep doing what they love. And it's becoming increasingly harder. It's always been difficult, but it's becoming increasingly harder today to make any money as an artist, because, I mean, it's bad enough that you're making scraps from Spotify and Apple Music and all that shit, but you're also having a tough time touring. You're having a tough time really doing anything. You're having to do things like get on Patreon and like feel the pressure to come up with all this content just to be able to like meet the demand of your subscribers. And it's just not a good situation. You know, like, I work in the merch business. That's probably the easiest way to do it, but that's even still a pain in the ass, and it sucks for people. Even sometimes to feel like I have to constantly be shilling my t-shirts just so I can like eat or like buy a tank of gas to get to, you know, to my show in San Diego or whatever. So
yeah.
I want to see a future player, or a lot of players, hopefully, that just, you know, maybe it's kind of genre specific, or people are going to players because they're curated in a specific way that they love. But then once they get there, they have a way to interact through, you know, live streamings, chats, you know, basic social stuff. And like Michael said, you're able to still have that Patreon style experience by being a supporter. And maybe the more you support somebody, the more you get. But on the artist side, they're not having to churn out content in order to maintain those, in order to maintain that support.
It won't come as a surprise that I'm not a fan of locking stuff away for premium access. I mean, that's just my preference has never been that way, and I've done value for value effectively for over 15 years very successfully. When I look at all the elements we have, and by the way, we have to mention again the music side project from Stephen B, because it really is a good start into this. But when you see we've added a third element into value for value in the value block, which is auto. It hasn't really been implemented, or even, I don't know if it's even been approved yet, but auto means the app will allow you to set a subscription type level payment. So it could be anything, I guess, you know, a week, day, month, or when a new track drops or whatever. The lit stuff, if an artist has the capability to go live like we're doing, and that's where a lot of value comes in. That's where people get excited. You don't have to be playing. You can just be talking. You know, it can be without video, with video. You have all those elements, including now this chat, which can be the chat for the artist, which is just there. And, you know, as we know, it links to Nostril. So there's all these different elements that just need to be molded into an experience. And what I identify is when I see Stephen B creating Music Side Project, you know, before even anything the content is just barely coming. You know, it's not like the feeds are automatically submitted to the index. And you explained perfectly why. But then I also see Joe Martin, who just went, hey, this fountain thing is kind of working. And he's blown away by the amount of value he's receiving over any of the other platforms. It feels like and there's a lot of pent up energy. And once we hit that, whatever that is, and I don't know, you know, it's going to be a combination of artists or artists and how they already communicate with their audience, with their base, and some technology. It's going to happen. It'd probably be in a surprising way. You know, I was already blown away by Joe Martin and, you know, and what he sees as the Fountain platform, which of course is much broader with other apps. I think you're going to be surprised. As long as we can keep implementing these things and someone is showing the way, because you need that. You need an artist to actually do it and run with scissors, as we say, to get something going. I think it'll just, there'll be a flood at a certain point.
Oh yeah, it's going to happen. I mean, that's why Wavelink exists, you know, as Michael was kind of explaining. I didn't know how to do anything, but I could figure out through Breeze and Sphinx and RSS feed a couple years ago. That's like, oh, I can sort of create streaming money on this with my music through these podcast players.
Exactly.
And it's super rad. And I don't know how to build this in a, for an experience that's going to work for the artist. So like, you know, hey, who's out there? And now we have Wavelake. And so that's cool. And also, but you need people now, like, shout out to Joe Martin. Joe Martin rules too, because you need these advocates. We're going to need these bridge advocate bands that are like an artist. They're, you know, maybe just heard about Bitcoin and have one leg in the bit on the door on Bitcoin. They're trying to make money. They're feeling the pain, and they discover this stuff and they start talking about it. And like every great thing, through word of mouth, this is going to, all this stuff is going to happen. Another cool thing too, I want to mention, because I was just talking about this the other day, like, I'm super excited for when people start communicating in between album cycles, even just like, hey, I'm working on records. These are my demos. What do you guys think? And can monetize that process to get you through from one album cycle to another, when typically that's been a really kind of a dry period for artists.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing about podcasting, is you have, you know, and why it makes so much sense to layer music distribution onto the podcasting sort of guts, is because that, I mean, podcasters are used to that all the time, dropping, you know, it's so effortless to drop some extra content in your feed. Like, it's not a huge lift. And so, you know, you have this sort of like quick feedback loop with your, with your listeners. I think music, you know, the more the technology gets out of the way, I think you get better music. I think there's a lot of, I guess the beauty of a thing like Spotify or Apple Music is you just tap the app and you're there. There's not complexity. And so that's where we need to get to on the open distribution side, is we need to get to that same level where it's, you know, somebody can, where I can tell one of my kids or one of my friends, you know, hey, install this app. There's a whole bunch of music for you to find that's brand new. Because, you know, my kids they're very involved in the local music scene. They both have bands and stuff like that, and they both play and stuff. So they're already in sort of in the indie music culture. And if there was an app where it was literally as easy as a Spotify or an Apple Music, but all the stuff was from local independent, self-sovereign art musicians, they would absolutely flock to it. They would use it. They would send boosts. They would do all that. But it can't be a podcast app, quote unquote. It can use the podcast infrastructure, but it has to be a music app. I guess the good thing is you can take advantage of all the things that podcasting does well. Like, it doesn't have to be stream only. Like, one of the great things about podcasts and podcast apps is they want to download the episode for you. They want to download the tracks so that you don't get dropouts when you walk into an elevator or something. Like, there's a lot of those things that they already have, EQ, they have, complex audio processing and that kind of stuff in there to make stuff sound better. There's a lot of things that they're really good at that can make the experience even better than the big apps.
Yeah. I think that discovery element is really important too, because, you know, with all the mega streaming services, I don't know, I'm sure everyone else gets the same feeling that they're being kind of herded into the same 10 artists, no matter which way you try and turn.
Usually songs that Spotify owns the rights to.
Yeah, hey, it all works out in the end, because the labels own Spotify, and Spotify will funnel people to the label's work, right? And so I think what's really exciting about sort of open distribution and kind of different clients being able to curate content in different ways, but all on the same kind of foundational base layer of source material. We have the opportunity to create diverse experiences for different people, depending on what you like. If you're interested in finding something new, it becomes a little bit less of a hunting expedition and more of something that you can kind of count on certain curators or different sites to be able to do. I think that could be a really exciting time, maybe a revival of music from what we've seen happen over the last decade.
Also, I'd like to remind us that, I'm not a kid anymore. I don't think Dave can qualify. I don't know about you guys. But it's always amazing how we'll go back to the days of Napster and LimeWire. And I saw my daughter. She was looking for stuff, or she heard about something, and they would install the most complicated things with really no great player experience or anything like that, just to be able to get what everyone else was talking about. It's like sometimes we're very good at overthinking what the experience has to be, and I think the content always speaks for itself. And just like with podcasting, you need to have the artists themselves, the bands, they need to be saying, hey, check it out here. And, look, you're always your own marketing. You've got a band, you've got a market, you've got to let people know what you're doing. And if this is a place where you can get value back easily, I hope everyone can get out of the, no one is going to be Beyonce anymore. Beyonce is Beyonce. The percentage and the likelihood of that happening is as likely as anyone becoming the next Joe Rogan. It just doesn't work that way anymore. But you don't need it, because your community, your 1,000 fans, your 2,000 fans who follow you, who love your stuff, they will support you. All you got to do is learn how to ask and have the mechanism right there, which is what, have the boost button or the zap button or whatever it is, have it right there. So it's easy for people to hit and, hit and go.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like how touring works, there's bands that have managed to have careers and survive for decades on being able to play club shows around the country. It's like we can go out every spring and fall and play 45 shows and make a living off of it. It's going to be cool when that the same amount of people, you can take those 10,000 people or 8,000 people and survive as an artist instead of having to dream big and become the next Beyonce or some kind of mega superstar where you're going to need millions and millions and millions of people. I mean, even now on Spotify, it's hilarious. Even with millions of streams, you're still not making any money. So, this is going to change everything. Hopefully.
I have a question for you guys, 'cause this is probably the hardest part, I would presume. How do you vet what is being uploaded so that, people aren't uploading, Spotify had this problem, here's a movie they uploaded, how do you vet all that?
I mean, luckily, because everyone else had this problem before us, I mean, right now it's super easy because things are not being uploaded at a pace that we can't just manage. Mm-hmm. But, there are tools like, what are they called? Like, Michael, help me out here.
Shazam.
Yeah. Like a Shazam song type thing where it recognizes that this is copyright.
Okay.
That
type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think verification is a big part of, not only ensuring that the artist who owns material is the one who's uploading it, but I think also down the road, in terms of making sure as a fan that my payment is going to the correct individual. Now we have keys and cryptography and all that to help us verify that, we're actually paying the person who made the work. I think that could be a big possibility too.
That was one really cool and inspiring thing that I saw in the very early days of the Nostra boom was, when I first logged on, there were 10 Jack Dorseys. Probably more.
right.
And everyone was like, which one's the right Jack Dorsey? And then you're looking at follow lists to see who's okay. It's like, I think maybe this person is following this person. They probably know, but then they fixed that really quick with NIP 57, which I still think needs a lot of work. That's not a perfect way to verify people, but to be able to use a domain easily for verification, that was at least inspiring in the sense that it's like, oh, these problems seem like they're huge, but you can do a quick fix for the time being until you come up with the ultimate solution that's going to last.
Yeah. And I think that's another good thing about podcasting is it's decentralized, but it's decentralized through, it's almost like ActivityPub. it's decentralized sort of towers of control. So you have pure decentralization. I mean, we all know pure 100% decentralized things is very, very difficult. Monumentally difficult, so much that people have been trying for years and years and years, and it still has drawbacks. I mean, you know, I've been vocal about all the drawbacks about Nostr that bother me. But the thing about podcasting is that you have, you know, hosting companies that are, you have a ton of them. You have all the, you know, Wavelake is a hosting company. You have all these hosting companies, and so you have a measure. It's sort of like Mastodon. You have these, you have lots of people, and it is decentralized, but it's not so decentralized that there's too much pressure to get everything right on the individual. So you know, the individuals are sort of like proxied through these points of control, which makes it. It makes it easier. It's sort of like a compromise that sort of ends up being good for everybody, because I know that I'm not literally getting, you know, a million feeds a day from all over, from every Tom, Dick, and Harry, you know, that exists. Like, so I'm getting feeds from Wavelake. I'm getting them from Buzzsprout. And so I think that it slows the pace down. And like you said, it makes it where you can have a little bit, like, you can have some sanity about this thing and not have to feel like you need to solve every problem that exists.
Yeah, that was some really good advice that I got from Roy from Breeze early on. He was one of the people that I talked to first about this, just because Breeze was one of the first things where I was able to plug music into and stream stats over mm-hmm. with it. So in the early conversations with Roy, I was like, you know, how do we do this? How do I get someone to build this? Like, will you put this in Breeze? How do we figure this out? And my biggest thing back then was like, we got to take these guys down, you know, like Spotify and Apple Music's of the world. And he was just like, hey, dude, like, chill out. You don't need to take them down. You don't need to take them. They'll take themselves down. Like, this is the better model. Just all we got to do is just keep working on the better model. I mean, which is so true. And I'm a Bitcoin dude, so like, I know that perfectly well. If you just play the slow game on these things, if it's a better system, it's going to work. And if we keep adapting to these things, these technologies that make this better system even better, and everyone else is on, you know, the slow moving train from the prehistoric times, they're not going to be able to keep up. And then by the time it comes around, they're not going to know what hit them. And that's probably the way this is going to work out. Someone asked, we were in Nashville earlier this week for a design summit thing. And someone asked, you know, like what we would think about Spotify implementing value for value or the Lightning Network. And it's like, it's just not going to happen. No. It's just not going to happen. If they can't make money, they can't make money now. There's no way they can make money if they're being fair, you know? So it's just not likely. It's incredibly unlikely for that to happen. What's more likely is we'll just create a better system. In doing that, it'll inspire other people to create even cooler stuff, and things will just slowly go that way. You know, it just might take some time. All this stuff takes time. Nostr is going to take time. Lightning is, we're 5 years into Lightning. It's still early.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. It takes a lot of time. But when I see what has happened with value for value in just 2 years, even the biggest detractors who have come around, it takes time. But it is a logarithmic scale. It goes up fast at a certain point. It just moves. It really moves.
Yeah, slowly and suddenly.
I think one of you guys was saying like there's pent up demand for these kinds of products out there. And I think, you know, the early adopter crowd who understands value for value, who understands what we're trying to do at Wavelake, I just get the sense that they've been waiting for something like this to happen for a while. And they get it. And I think it's just a matter of time before, you know, other people kind of follow along.
Yep, they are going to have to do some work, though. Freedom doesn't come without that extra step. That's what it always boils down to. And we see the people who are successful with value for value in podcasting, you know, they've taken that extra step. You got to dive in. But one thing I know is the excitement of having, you know, even if it's an Albie wallet, the excitement of putting something out there, whatever it is, and seeing Satoshis drip in while people are actually listening or enjoying on the other end. I think there's nothing like it.
Yeah. There's no comparable experience to that. I was just, one of the musicians we were talking to in Nashville was saying that exact same thing, where he was saying, you know, if I put my stuff up on a major streaming site, I might see a check from them for a few cents
in six to 12 months
yeah, exactly. after
exactly.
it was actually listened to. And he's like, but on your site, I'll get boost. I got boost like the first day I had music on mm-hmm. the site. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, especially for an artist who so much of the work is sort of inside your own head or like with your bandmates, and you're sort of just like, you're trying to make the best thing possible, but in the end, you have no idea if anyone's going to like it. You love it, but you have no idea what it's going to be like when you put it on the world. And so that instantaneous feedback loop where you can publish something you've been working on and have sort of put your heart and soul into, and to see that like returned right when people hear it, I think that's a huge game changer in terms of motivating that person to like keep going. You know, you're doing yeah. something right.
Do you even see streams created on Spotify in real time, or is that also an end of month report?
You can see like through aggregates like TuneCore or DistroKid. You definitely cannot see it in real time. You can see it sort of like maybe a 24-hour delay. You can get estimated streams, mm-hmm. But it's yeah. There's no depth to it. It doesn't feel. You know, you feel nothing from it. I mean, it's hard to really feel anything from the music business. It's just like soul sucking, lifeless experience overall. Been doing it long enough to know, but it's the thrill. I mean, it sounds so cheesy, but it really is, just because it's like, oh, I'm in my early 40s. I've been making music since I was a kid, and I'm like rejuvenated by this. I want to make more music just so I can experience this. Cause nice. It's like records that I made 10 years ago are getting boosts and getting comments. People are discovering it for the first time, when normally I know how it goes. You make a record, and if, you know, unless you're incredibly lucky, it kind of just goes back on the pile and people come back to it every once in a while, but you never get that feedback again, you know, unless you do something like go on tour, play the songs, do the whole,
That's a good point. I mean, I even see it with podcast episodes. You know, people go back and they listen. They start, some start at one now, you know, but they, people will listen to all kinds of older material and then still send a boostagram or something like that. You see it, you know, you see a nice. Per minute stream coming in. Oh yeah, it's phenomenal. It's, wish everyone could witness this. I wish you could have that feeling, people. Everybody needs the feeling. Get the feeling.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Dave, please.
Oh, I was just going to say, Michael, you've got enough coding experience now with, you know, creating podcast feeds and doing that kind of thing. What do you think? Let's see. How do I want to ask this? Do you see anything missing, or do you need, what do you think music as a platform layered on top of a podcast distribution, what do you think is there anything missing, or are there things that you can think of that you would love to see done, but you don't know how, or you don't think they exist?
Yeah. I mean, I can say, first of all, that you guys have done a great job with the spec. I'm not a spec guy. So to be able to go to GitHub and just see it all laid out and see the motivation and the rationale behind all the decisions, that's been incredibly useful and valuable for me. As far as, you know, the way I think about using the feed and the 2.0 spec for music, the way I always approach these kinds of things is, I don't want to create a modification to a widely adopted spec unless it's absolutely necessary. Because if that many people already have agreed upon a certain template or a certain description for these feeds, you know, you better have a and this is, I think this is an article I found through you about, like, you know, standards on the internet. You know, I think, like, you better have a damn good reason and really need to make a change if you want to force everyone else to follow that change with you. And so the way I see it, you know, like, and I think Adam's talked about this too, like, what is an album, you know, if not just like a show, right? And what is a track on an album? You know, it's just the same thing as an episode in that show. And so we've been just trying to leverage what exists and just use it in a way that's logically, that logically maps to music. And I think it works. I don't think, as far as I could tell, I don't think there's much we need to change. And I know there's options in there for like transcripts, right? I mean, you could easily put lyrics in there,
yeah.
Or maybe there's two separate things, right? I don't know, but
and album art can come back finally.
Yeah, and then you have, you know, podcast show art is album. I mean, all these things can be easily translated. I think anyone can make the leap pretty easily, and so yeah. As far as things that are lacking, I would say there's more than enough there to do music and more.
What, let me ask you about that on the transcript side, because what do y'all do? Y'all do lyrics now in any way?
No, I mean, we're a pretty small team. We actually just hired one other developer and brought him on in the last.
Oh, week. Congratulations!
So thank you. That's been a big advantage, and it's also a big change. Just, you know, having a third person join us, but yeah, it's been great. Josh, if you're listening. You're awesome, man.
thank you, Josh.
But
we love you, Josh.
Yeah, he rocks. He totally rocks. But yeah, I think. I lost train of thought there.
How do you handle lyrics? Do you?
Oh, right.
Do anything about generation, or do you allow your artists to submit lyrics, or what is your plan for that?
I think eventually we'll allow artists to submit their lyrics. And then I think there's also a way to time code them, if I'm not mistaken, in the 2.0 spec.
Yeah.
So, that would be great to have not only the lyrics available, but also, you know, sort of track with the song, as the person is listening to it. So I would love to see that in the future.
Okay. Yeah, it'd be cool to use the transcripts to have it auto-generated and then give the artist the ability to go in and edit the transcript if it, for some reason, picks something up wrong. I've used those before in, like, auto transcribers, and, like, they're 99% there, but sometimes they get things a little goofy, and it'd be cool to be able to adjust it. But have that stuff all automatically there, at least from the start, would be great.
If you guys don't mind, I'd like to read a couple of boostergrams that have been coming in. People have been asking some questions, making some comments, and you've probably heard the pew pew. So we kick it off with Harv Hat, thanking Harv Hat 10101, boosting from CurioCaster. It just says boosting fun, of course. Take that. And another row of ducks, 2222 from Harv Hat. Mike Dell, keep on running with scissors. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
With a Freedom Boost 1776. Stephen B., who doesn't know him, CurioCaster, Music Side Project, Sovereign Feeds, 3333. And he says 10 songs is one of my favorite new albums, which I think he's been
cool.
Yeah, I think he's been promoting that as well. Dreb Scott, the Bruce Wayne of podcasting 2.0, 77,777 sats, just boosting for the boost. Thank you, Dredge.
It was almost a Satoshi slam, but he was 11,001. He was a Satchel of Richards away from a Satoshi slam.
Holy crap. I like how you calculated that. You had that ready, didn't you, Dave? You were ready for that one.
Yeah, I was ready.
Boobery, 17,776. Big Freedom Boost. I want to give big thanks to Sam for guidance through setting up a BTC pay server. The lightning.store website is amazing, and seeing it was the kick we needed for BTS and the V4V swag. It's going to be a hot, wet summer of garage printing. All right, there you go.
Nice.
Boobery. Stephen B. comes back in with a short row of ducks. What are your ideas on categorizing music by genre to make search for music by type easier? As a question for both you guys and maybe even Dave.
That's a good question.
It is a great, we've had some good conversations in our Telegram chat about just the concept of genres, you know, and what they really are. We definitely need to work on some kind of filtering, but it's tough to know exactly how to do that. Cause it's, you sort of have to predefine a lot of them, I think, or else you can get a lot of duplicates and goofiness in the just the way things are formatted and stuff. But I don't know. I think that's a tough one because you don't want to leave anybody out, but you also want to be able to filter through this stuff, especially as the library begins to grow.
Is that something that is self-selecting though? I mean, it's always been a bone of contention with podcasting as well. What category, what type of podcast is this? I mean, I don't know, Dave, if you have any thoughts on that.
Well, this all goes back to discoverability problem and this discoverability. Well, I will say problem in quotes. Because the issue when you want to categorize something, the only reason you categorize it is so you can find it later, or if so that somebody else can find it by category instead of when they don't know what they're looking for. So if you have and that only really works if you go in there and choose let's just say metalcore. If you go in there and that's your genre and there's six albums there, that's great. You can discover new music that way. If you choose metalcore and there's 18,000 albums, you might as well just go home. You can't, you're not going to find anything. So like category, like I agree with y'all, genre category, it's only useful to a certain volume. And then you just really, it just kind of falls off. And so I tend to get disheartened by trying to even work on it. And I always kind of bail out.
This is what I always liked about Napster is, you know, if I searched for a song and I found it, then I was like, hey, what does this guy have? You know? And then you'd go, cause if that person had a collection, though, just a listener had a collection of songs that I probably would like, then I would find other things in there. I mean, that discoverability, that's what I think is the key.
Yeah. That's definitely a way
experience on Napster.
Yeah, that's a way better way to discover music. Like this person, or, you know, through playlisting, through that exact thing, recommendations.
Yeah,
it seems to be a better model.
Go ahead, Sam.
No, I'm done. I think we got a little bit of a delay. I'm good.
Oh, okay. No, I was just gonna say genre is really tricky because I think it's so subjective. Like some listener, you know, you mentioned metalcore, like. I'm sure there's 9 different subgenres of metalcore that, like, if you're a metalcore fan, like, you know, you'd get offended if you were to put one with the other. But, and then the other tricky thing is, like, when you're in a band, you think you're one thing,
you're right?
Other people, like, you know, if you have an agent or a promoter, they're like, no, no, you're this. And we're like, but we thought we were this, like, artsy like prog rock band. They'd be like, no, you're Foghat or whatever.
I would even say, you know, if there was an app that just had a trail, you know, here's what else I listen to, you know, not even something not a playlist necessarily that I put together, although that's also valid, but just, oh, here's the stuff I was listening to that I come back to this every single time. I opened up Fountain, I saw Dave Jones had boosted something. I went to go listen to it right away. It wasn't for me, but if I see that again, I'll do it again because I know Dave and I know Dave's taste. And, you know, so some things will be for me and some things not, but that's discovery. You know, I think search by genre, algorithmic stuff, that's a path to death and destruction. Oh, by the way, Dreb Scott.
Satoshi Slack.
There you go. 88,888. No. Yeah, and he came right back just to show us that he can do it. Another one from Stephen B. Hey, Wavelake, one, what's your plan for automatically adding your directory to the index? Right now, bands are adding their Wavelake feeds manually, and I'll give you the second part. Two, what's your plan for being able to play albums in Wavelake that aren't hosted on Wavelake? These are big questions. We have stumped the band.
So I think Dave alluded to this a little bit when he was talking about the fact that we want to make sure that music is presented in a way that just looks good, that sort of puts its best foot forward, so to speak.
And one of the concerns we had about auto-loading the feeds into Podcast Index was that we were concerned that these albums might show up on, well, they would show up on Value for Value podcast players presented sort of out of whack. And so I think our thinking was, you know, in order to sort of, I guess, preserve the quality of the experience for music listeners, you know, I think it's great if people make other Value for Value music players. Like, I think that would be a first step in that direction, and seeing more of those would give us more confidence. Putting music medium tagged feeds into the Podcast Index automatically. But I think, like, right now, we just don't see that yet. But we're hoping we're hoping that starts happening soon. And then the second question was having feeds consumed by Wavelight.com. I think, yeah, we would like to see that as well, to have, like, self-hosted feeds on Wavelight.com. To be perfectly honest, we haven't seen very much demand. We have, like, one request that I can name or think of that, of someone wanting to publish their own feed. But, you know, in terms of, like, everything we've got up in the air right now, it's on our, like, to-do list, but it's because there's so many other things we're trying to push forward to, you know, make the site as great as we
build
can.
Faster. Build faster. Everyone, I know, wants you to build faster.
I know, Adam.
Sam Seth, the CEO of PodFans, comes in with 10,000 sats. He says, add rel equals episode or rel equals track to create a pod role or music role to create playlists. So he's already thinking. We have...
Interesting.
Then we have another 10,000 from Sam Sethi. He says, boosts are comments with sats. Zaps are like payments, but no comment. That's definitely a way to look at it. And there's another 10,000 from Sam Sethi. Go to bed, Sam. Albie had added... he says, Albie had added the Noster NPub public key to the API. This is for PodFans. We automatically pull this into PodFans and now have a Noster icon in the user's profile. See, it's spreading this idea of the distributed or the identity you can take with you or create a toss, like a burner identity. Anonymous, 19,760. Pew Pew, who's buying lunch? Thank you. Dreb Scott, just testing Eldingar, the split kit, 7777. We have N4VX with Elite Boost, 1337. Thank you for your coding. Thank you for your courage. Dreb Scott, another test of Eldingar with 7777. Eric PP with 33,333. No, Tone Wrecker with a short row of sticks. Sherlock Holmes, seek out that 10K sat send boosted a few minutes before today's meeting started up. Okay, I'll see that in a sec, I'm sure. Chad F. with a test. Dreb Scott with a test. Tone Wrecker with a Van Halen boost, 1984. And I think we are... Oh, Martin Lindeskog says, I look forward to Dame Jennifer's animated version of the episode Our Podcast 2.0 Micropayments Actually Worth It by Daniel J. Lewis with a short row of ducks. Well, you know, she's working on it. It's a long one, so, you know, it takes about 1 minute, I think, takes about an hour of work. So hopefully she'll have that done in a week or so. And then I'm at the delimiter. So, Dave, you want to thank some other people who have helped us with this Value for Value project known as Podcasting 2.0?
Yeah, sure. We don't have any one-off PayPals this week.
Conversion complete.
But we do have lots of boosts. We've got a 8008, a boo boost from Chad F. He says, verifying my feed. Well, Chad, your feed is verified. Stamped, yes. Approved. The trickler, that would be the Swedish trickler, I'm imagining, 1234 through Fountain. He says, in his message, he says, podcasting.
Okay. Yes. Right. Yeah. Podcasting. Indeed. Podcasting.
Let's see. Somebody. Oh, that's me. What? How did I boost myself?
You probably. And that's illegal, by the way, in 26 states. So stop doing this, that.
I know who. I know what this is. This. It says Dave Jones. Sats 2112, and it says through Breeze. Dave Jones again here, and I don't care about verifiable identity. Trust me.
I know what that is. Okay.
Yeah, I think I know who this is. Yeah. Point taken. Yes, point taken. 20, and he just keeps on going. Todd from Northern Virginia, 11111, Big Satchel Richards. through Breeze and says, ah, boost it. Boost it real good. Sorry,
boost.
Dave.
Boost.
Nicholas B58, 5,000 sats through Fountain. It says, nice episode. Keep boosting, guys.
Well, thank you. Well,
thanks, Nicholas. Another one from Nicholas, another 5,000 sats through Fountain. And he says, another boost from the Swiss German Bitcoin podcast called, oh, Lord, Die Zentral Schweiz podcast. Die Zentral Schweiz.
Boost, okay. boost.
Good enough for me.
I'm gonna boost you on that for that one.
Yeah, okay. So, sorry for this shameless plug. Great work, guys. Thank you. And another one, a last one from Nicholas B58 through Fountain, and he says another boost.
Yeah.
Boost.
Clarkian, my buddy, 25,001 sats through Fountain, and he says boop beep. All right.
Don't just stand there. Boost.
R. Davis, 87, 4,000 sats through Podverse. And R. Davis says, as to the discussion at the beginning of the show on transcripts, I don't think as a podcast listener and a future podcast producer, I don't think we need a word-for-word timestamp. I think it's overkill. What we have now with SRT is fine.
You're in the minority.
But, I mean, think about it with music. I mean, like we're talking about today. I mean, a word for word.
Follow the bouncing ball.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
That's pretty strong. I mean, like I can imagine, especially for, you know, hearing impaired. I am high on the word for word timestamps.
I'm with you on that.
R. Davis, 87, 4,000 sats through Podverse again. He says, I love all this webhook talk and JavaScript talk. I can't get enough of this hot namespace talk. Gets me all excited.
Instagram.
Go podcasting and Podfather, if you will.
Yeah.
Please give me a goat scream. That's in the other deck, right?
I actually have it somewhere.
Mere Mortals, 2222 through Fountain.
I found the goat.
Okay. Goat delivered. The Standards Project does sound like a lot of politicking. I wish them all the best with it. High five.
Yo.
Bombshell.
Joel W. Sagittar Richards through Fountain. No note. Thank you, Joel. Gene Bean, Elite Boost, 1337. Says, hopefully Fountain will want to be PSP certified and will implement transcripts. True.
That answers my question.
What? What was your question?
I wondered if they had transcripts. I guess they don't.
They don't? No. Okay. Gene Bean again, Elite Boost through Castomatic. He says, how is what Adam wants from Noster different from an OAuth or OpenID system? I think it's because it's just a public private key pair and you can toss them. I think it's just because they throw away identities and they don't require near as much work.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be my guess there. Gene Bean, 2222 through Castomatic says, Adam, if you've had this 180 degree change of opinion on boostergrams showing up in apps, why are they still off for this show in Fountain?
Let's have them turn back on. I don't think I can control that, can I? I don't think I can turn them on.
We have to request it from Oscar.
Yeah. Oscar will do it. Yeah, let's turn them on. Sure. I mean, it clearly works. And I thought I thought by adding a split in there, it would actually enable them. So anyway, yeah, I'll ask Oscar to turn it on. Absolutely.
Gene Bean, 10,000 sats through Fountain. He says, really enjoyed Tom and Kevin being on the show and all the hot namespace talk.
You guys are sick, okay? Y'all are sick. Like a hot namespace talk.
Sir Twin Screw, 1893. He says, I'm with you, Adam. I like the Noster concept. It's kind of like Keybase.
I can see that. I don't like Keybase, interestingly, but I understand what you're saying, yeah.
Alex had a good analogy for Noster the other day. He said it's sort of like ham radio relays.
Oh, totally. That's probably why I like it. And in fact, there is a protocol out there based on the JX9 protocol, I think, that works on very low power, and you can actually it's all digital, so you have a program on your laptop and it connects to your radio, and people can Your radio can function as a relay to send the signal further when it receives it from one to the other. And I can already see some crazy person setting up a Noster on ham radio to propagate. I guarantee, and I'll be there. I'll definitely participate. I love that stuff.
Doesn't NBK do that? I thought he was a ham radio guy.
I don't know if he does that. He's definitely a ham radio guy. You know, I was arguably I was the first person to receive sats over ham radio. Someone else claims that, but it was
I thought he was doing the sats over ham radio thing. Was he doing that with you?
No, it was someone. I don't know. That's years ago. I don't remember.
You're the ham father too.
No, that would, they call that, no, wait for it. They call that an Elmer. So no, I'm okay. I'm cool. I'm cool. Not being an Elmer. I'm good.
Stephen B, 1,000 sats through the Eldingar app. Oh, nice to see a new app show up.
Yay, yay.
He says Eldingar easy podcast link builder test boost. There you,
it works. Hey,
5x5, Stephen.
That's right.
5x5. You got about, there's about six of those in there. All good, Stephen. Boomy of the Albi team sent us 2,100 sats and he says, high five.
Yo, yo. Thank you.
Borlaug 101010.
Binary baller boost.
Baller. Shot caller. 20 inch blaze. Only Impala.
Oh my God. Listen to that horn!
Yeah, I figured we'd throw that in for Sam.
How'd the foamer get in there?
Yeah, thank you.
Because Sam's got his train going, you know. I think
I don't get enough train in my place already. Yeah.
You need train in your podcast,
that's
too.
Right, evidently. That's right. Yeah.
Thank you, Borlaug. He says, how many sats does it take before we can put board member on a CV like NA's episode IMDb?
Oh, that's a good question.
And how many sats will it take to get Mr. Dave Jones to do another weekly podcast? Another weekly podcast?
What?
No, Lord. No, a lot more than 100,000 sats.
Yeah, I agree.
I love what you're doing, and I love both of you. Thank you so much. Well, thank you, Borlaug.
Thank you, Borlaug.
Thanks for that. Caspilin, 3690, through Fountain. He says, like the Nostra talk, getting some old BitTorrent sync feelings around the things. Thank you for working for freedom.
Oh, BitTorrent sync.
How you doing, Booster?
Yeah, I remember it. I remember another failed project. Mm-hmm. Yeah, too bad.
Decent. 100% decentralization is, I'll say it again, it's impossibly difficult.
Although I will say that, you know, as someone was looking to pull in all the old daily source code archives, I think Christopher Isine found it. Some lonely old dude still out there had a BitTorrent sync node up with all the daily source code episodes, and we were able to collect them from that one person.
Yeah. So, he's also the guy that runs NTP or whatever, like
what, NNTP?
You know, like Network Time Protocol. Yeah, you know, that old dude.
Yeah, NNTP. Isn't that NNTP? Yeah. The time, network.
No, that's news. That's Usenet. NNTP is Usenet.
Oh, okay. What was it? Yeah. I forget what it was.
Yeah, that R Davis 87, 4,000 sats through Podverse. He says, a day before pre-boost boost. Wait a second. I'm getting lost here. A day before pre-boost boost. Okay. ITM, Podfather, and Podsage just finished listening to the future podcasting and wondered about your thoughts on Daniel J. Lewis's proposal for cross-app comments. Also interested in hearing your thoughts about the ideal of making the chapter's comments and transcript tags, child tags of a podcast metadata tag. Ugh. As always, thank you for your courage and go podcasting. Well, I think that deserves its own discussion on its own episode because it's too complicated.
It does.
I have lots of thoughts about it.
Yeah, you already shut me down when I just brought it in. You shut
Stop.
Me down.
Go podcasting,
and rightfully so.
Yeah, I listened to that episode with Daniel and Dave. Great description, and I think it deserves its own sort of breakdown.
Oh, they did an episode about the cross app. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll have to listen to that. I'll listen to that right after we're done.
Yeah. I opted for that instead of reading the documentation.
Right. Yes. Thank you.
Lyceum 2222. See, blah blah blah. Nope, that was one we already got. And Macintosh 2100. Just listened to the Marty Bent interview. Love it. Dave, when do you sleep? I can't wait to hear more about this new tool today. Yeah. Well, you just heard it. Yeah. Good appearance on TFTC there.
Thank you. I love Marty. What a great guy.
Yeah. And we got the Delimiter comic strip blogger 33015 through Fountain. And he says, "Daring Dave and artfully ardent Adam. The Delimiter is proud as punch to bankroll the longest running continuously boosted podcast in the universe, especially with the salubrious value of BTC trending heavenwards. God willing, this will be the priciest pager duty there is. Your automated umbral checker will only ask that you consider the AI.cooking podcast show as an option to spend some time with once a fortnight. Yo, CSB and Gwoof, King of Cock."
We'll give you a boost. Thank you, gentlemen. Good boost, everybody. Appreciate it. It's value for value. And I think we probably have some monthlies or some PayPals that have come in that we want to thank people for.
We do. We got some monthlies. We got a Podverse at $50. Thank you, Mitch.
Whoa.
Lauren Ball, $24.20. We got Basil Phillip, $25. Mitch Downey, also of Podverse, $10. Christopher Harabarek, $10. Terry Keller, $5. Chris Cowan, $5. Jeremy Cavanaugh, $10. Jeffrey Rutherford, $5. David Norman, hey, David, $25. Damon Cassajack, $15. Derek J. Visker, $21. And lovely name. Paul Saltzman, $22.22. And Jeremy Gerds, $5.
And believe it or not, we have a Tally coin on chain.
Dreb?
No. From Kyron.
Oh, from Mere Mortals.
Yes, he says, "Sam is super cool." That would be Sam Sethi, who he interviewed. Did you hear that interview? Did you hear that interview they did, Dave?
Not yet. Got it queued up.
Feels like we barely scratched the surface. Such kind words. So this is to make Adam feel warm and fuzzy inside. 33,330 sats. Thank you so much, Karen. Appreciate it. I love it when someone uses the Tally coin because so many people requested it because they were going to send us plenty of mucho bitcoins. And it turns out they don't. But we... We really want you to use a modern podcast app. Get that at podcastapps.com. Boost us. Of course, you can go to podcastindex.org. Scroll down to the bottom. We've got two red donate buttons, one for PayPal for your fiat fund coupons, and, of course, for the Tally coin. And, again, we like getting the boost and the boostograms. And thank you for supporting it. The Podcasting 2.0 podcast, the boardroom, the project. You are, in fact, keeping the engines running. And we cannot thank you enough. Have we missed anything, Wavelake boys?
No, this was awesome. We covered all ground.
everything exhaustive.
Yes.
I am so excited about the future and what you guys are doing, and we'll continue to keep motivating app developers. I mean, it's a heavy lift, you know. Creating an app is not easy. Of course, what is very cool is there's several open source projects that that people can use to get a start with. Where are those? Do we link to any of those, Dave? Any of those? Was it Anytime Player? Is that one? I mean, there's stuff mm-hmm. that you can pick up. I guess. I mean,
Breeze itself is open source.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm gonna have
and
to
Podverse.
Start, why don't I start hassling Roy? Hey, by the way, where was Roy's boost?
I did not see a Roy boost. Maybe we said something. Maybe we offended him.
He's like, "No, I am not sending anything to them. I'm just going to sleep now."
It's my fault for knocking. I talked down Noster and he censored me.
I'm gonna talk to him. I know that, now Wavelake is already integrated as an app, isn't it? Into Breeze.
Though I think. It needs to be updated. Like the old version was on there for a second. So I don't think it really works now. We have to get that upgraded on the new version of whatever the new version of Breeze comes out.
Leave it to me. Let me talk to Roy.
Yeah. You take care of Roy.
Oh yeah. It's what I do. I love taking care of Roy. I do.
I wanted to say it again. I love Roy. Roy's the best.
Yeah, he's a great person. Great person.
All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you so much. Continued success. We're here whenever you need something, whatever we can do. We love doing it. Dave, any final words?
I mean, if you will indulge me, I wanted to get one recommendation from Michael and one recommendation for Sam album off of the,
yes,
you know, off of Wavelake that they are stoked about. Now you each have music Also, you're both musicians.
There's his
but
horn.
You cannot reference yourself.
Yeah, horn's coming back.
The horn, yeah, you. What? Tell. Give us one. Give us one each. What are you into?
Okay.
Yeah.
Go
you
ahead,
got Michael. One, Sam.
I'm trying to find the name of it because I've already forgotten the name. It's the Turkish punk band.
Oh,
Turkish
right.
Turkish punk, I like it.
Turkish punk band, I like it.
While you look that up, I would recommend a band called Silver Unit.
Awesome
band. Great one. Yeah, they have an album on Wavelake that I really dig, so I would recommend that one.
Yeah, yeah, actually, you know what? I'm gonna give a shout out other than like the easy ones, Joe Martin, Tone Wrecker. I'm going with Man Like Quex. He did the M-Pub song. It's sitting at number 2 on our top 40 right now. And it's the first track to drop Wavelake in the lyrics, which is pretty exciting for us.
Nice! And hearing that you guys have a top 40, may I just say that as soon as possible, I would love to do the Wavelake top 40 show.
Countdown, Casey Kasem style.
Hey, everybody.
Dude, that'd be so rad.
Oh, I would love to. As long as we got them with value blocks, I will do it.
Oh, that sounds so cool.
I will do it. I'd love to do it. And I'm excited about that idea.
Can we get away? This is a Wavelake Fubar Friday.
Yes, exactly. Like exactly. Exactly. No, be very, very cool. And I think that would, you know, hey, people love charts, man. If we can do something like that, definitely. I'm all in.
Yeah. I grew up listening to Casey's Top 40 every weekend when
and
I was
now,
a kid.
So a long distance dedication. Yeah.
There you go.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Dave, my brother, have a good weekend.
You too, man.
All right, chat room, thank you all very much for joining the boardroom of Podcasting 2.0. We return next week once again to bring you all the best in podcasting and music.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Oh my God! Woo! Listen to that!